The $12 million plan to improve Bridgewater State Hospital is just the latest in a series of reform efforts at the hospital. In the 1967 documentary Titicut Follies, Bridgewater became a national symbol of the mistreatment of those with mental illness. The film was so controversial it was banned for more than 20 years. It was the first movie for filmmaker Frederick Wiseman, and he's been following many of the controversies at Bridgewater ever since, including recent allegations of patient mistreatment and the 2009 death of Joshua Messier. Messier was 23 years old when he was sent to Bridgewater after a violent outburst at a private mental health facility. After his death, six guards were disciplined, and the Messier family received $3 million in a settlement. We recently met with Fred Wiseman to ask what he thought as he watched the Bridgewater surveillance tape of guards restraining Joshua Messier just minutes before his death.
Yeah, it was horrible for anybody to be treated that way. There was absolutely no need to treat that young man that way. The conceit, if that's the right word, has always been that the guards at Bridgewater, the staff at Bridgewater, knows how to handle disturbed patients who are potentially violent. And what you see in that video, among other things, is that they haven't got a clue.
Which doesn't seem to be all that different than what it was in 1967.
The behavior of the guards was unacceptable. The incompetence of the psychiatric staff, they were so bad they were comic, if it weren't so serious.
Remind folks, if you will, for people who maybe aren't familiar with Titicut Follies or haven't seen it, essentially why you made this movie and what the message of the movie was.
Well, I made the movie for several reasons. One is that I wanted to start making movies, and the content reason that I made the movie is because I knew something about Bridgewater, because when I taught law, I took students on field trips to Bridgewater. I still remember 52 years ago how horrified I was to see people kept under the conditions they were kept at Bridgewater. So one of my interests in making the movie was to alert people who weren't familiar and didn't have the opportunities that I did to visit Bridgewater to know what it was like.
Of course, no one could have anticipated that the movie would result in a long legal fight and be the only movie, really, that's ever been banned in the United States, except for a movie that's dealt with obscenity or national security. Right. So then you went through a legal fight, and it was banned until almost 1990.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's a dubious honor, but, you know, it was a classic example of shooting the messenger.
Now, the argument against it was that it would violate the rights of the privacy rights of the patients. Many of them were naked, in solitary confinement. I believe that was the crux of the argument of why they wanted it banned.
Well, that was the crux of the legal argument. But from my point of view, the legal argument was cooked up. The counterargument, which we made unsuccessfully, but had been made quite successfully in other similar situations, was that a public institution supported by taxpayers' funds should be transparent. For instance, one guy in the movie who sings a song called Chinatown in front of a TV set.
Chinatown, my Chinatown, where love ain't silent, where there's dreaming.
He was picked up, I think, in 1923. Because he painted a horse to look like a zebra in Falmouth and used it as a gimmick to sell ice cream. He was picked up for vagrancy, and I met him in Bridgewater 43 years later, and he was never tried. A considerable percentage of the population when I made the movie were people who were sent down for observation, were found incompetent to stand trial, and stayed there.
There's also another scene that stands out, the inmate Vladimir, and he's arguing with the doctor about his treatment, about his diagnosis as a paranoid schizophrenic, and then he goes before a board and says he feels worse.
I'm trying to tell you, day by day, I am getting worse because of the circumstances, because of the situation. Now you tell me, until you see an improvement, each time I get worse.
Right. Vladimir's analysis, which is heard in that scene, of the conditions at Bridgewater is accurate, because he says at one point they'd been there for a year and a half and nothing was being done for him. He didn't receive any treatment at Bridgewater. The principal forms of treatment there were drugs and television.
you spent, what, about 30 days filming there?
Yes.
What did it feel like to be at Bridgewater then?
Well, it was like being on another planet. It's outside the realm of ordinary experience. You're a nice middle-class boy. I didn't have any idea. I had it in an abstract way, but not in a real way, of the degree of degradation that exists. And I'm not solely talking about the treatment of the prisoners. I'm also talking about the crimes that the people had committed, or some of the people had committed. And one can't lose sight of the fact that some of the inmates at Bridgewater had committed crimes that were beyond imagining for some of us.
It just seems as if your film was the first in a series of problems in Bridgewater. I think there were lawsuits in the 70s, in the 80s. There was an expose by the New York Times. There have been lawsuits about murder, about guards putting acid in patients' faces, about all kinds of brutality. And now we have a class action lawsuit, 2014, pending against the facility. We have the corrections commissioner having resigned. We have this video of a young man's death. It just seems like it doesn't change.
Yes. I mean, again, I'm no student of all the various cycles that Bridgewater has been through, but it certainly appears not to have changed. But I think it doesn't change for a simple reason. I mean, simple reason, and that is the state is not invested in improving the conditions. And I use invest in the various senses of the word, both financially and morally.
And I'm sure, though, that there are some people who say, but they are people who committed unspeakable crimes, many of them. Why should we feel any sympathy?
Well, I suppose we should be interested because learning something about them might help other people from committing similar crimes. And a democratic society has an obligation to all its citizens. It's that old bromide, you judge the strength of a society by the condition of its prisons, the strength of a democratic society. As a quick cliche, it's not a bad one.
Is there something now, all these years later, if you could say that there was maybe one thing that stands out in your mind from that film, what would it be?
The indifference of the public to mental health and criminal problems. I mean, that's an abstract answer. But that's what stands out most in my mind as a consequence of making the film.
Fred Wiseman, thanks very much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
That's filmmaker Fred Wiseman, whose 1967 movie Titicut Follies shed light on some of the abuses at Bridgewater State Hospital. This music is from the film It's a Patient Playing a Trombone in the Bridgewater State Hospital courtyard.